So anyways, why don't we stand and let's read it. And then there's some things I just want to share from my heart. And then we are going to continue our celebration with Dan and Terry. Chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 1. And there are lots of words in there that, you know, I'm going to try to get through them. And probably won't be correct, but that's okay. That's okay. You probably don't know them either. So, verse 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel on this side of the Jordan, which probably was the east side, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Sub, between Paran, Top Hill, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dezahab. It is the 11th day. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according all that the Lord had given him as commanded to them. And after he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelled in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelled in Ashtaroth and Edrei. On the side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites and to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, in the lowlands, in the south, and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them." So, Father, as we look to your word, we pray that you would bless us. And Lord, we know, each and every one of us know that your word, the word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament was written for our learning, that we can learn from it, Lord, and we can follow after those examples, and we can learn from the examples of those who were before us. And so bless us, Lord, and I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us, and Lord, that you would bring everything into remembrance. And whatever you want me to say, I pray you add and take away. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, you can have a seat. So I got to share this. The reason why that I'm sharing with you this morning, from this book, because I have learned in my own personal life and within my ministry, and just by watching Dan and Terry as well, that there are times in our lives when the waiting, you know, must end. Okay? There are times when we pray, and there's times when we act. Okay? And when the time to act comes, that's a time when we have to move forward on what God has spoken to us, whatever he wants to do with us. And that's the time when we have to move forward. And the Lord showed me that it's time for Dan and Terry to move out and to move forward. You see, I was actually praying against them leaving. I was, seriously. I was praying against them. I was praying that the Lord would close the doors on them so that they wouldn't go. That's how bad I didn't want them to go. That was my time of prayer for me. But then I was also praying, okay, now I don't want to be a stingy, but I was also praying that if you do send them and if they do go, then that the Lord will bless the work of their hands, that the Lord will provide for them beyond what they could ever imagine and think, and he will do more for them. That was the time of act for me. But that time now has come, and the Lord is taking them to the land that the Lord has given them. And God's going to do a work for them out there. And then in here, I want you to look here at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Okay, and you're going to kind of, hopefully this will kind of fall into our lives as well. But here in verse 2, it tells us that Moses, well, let me give you I don't want a scenario here. The book before Numbers, the last few chapters of Numbers, if you remember how Moses came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt, and Moses is getting to the point where he's saying, you know what, here in this chapter, there's too many of you. I can't handle this though, because too many of you. We're talking close to 3 million people. And in the book of Numbers, if you remember when they came out, Moses sent Joshua, Caleb, and some others to go spy out the land, right? To go check out the land, because that's the land that the Lord has given to us. So we want you to go and take a look and see how things are. So they went, and when they came back with not such a good report. At least a couple of them did. And so they went, and Caleb and Joshua said, hey, you know, the other spies, there was 12 of them. And the other guys, they said, nah, man, we can't take it. The cities there are big, and the people are big. They're giants. And so we can't do it, you know, and they were scared of them. And Joshua and Caleb, they said, oh, no way. This is a land of milk and honey, and everything is huge. We can take it. Now, there's two reasons why that generation of people who came out of Egypt did not go into the promised land, okay? The younger ones, I think it was under 20 and under, I think, or something like that, that they were allowed to go in, but that first generation, none of them went in. And Moses, too, wasn't allowed to go in. Two reasons why. One is the lack of moving. The lack of going forward. And second, or I should say the sin of not doing anything. Okay? And the sin of disobedience. Those two things. And now here we see they're ready to go into the promised land. But Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land because of his sin of disobedience. And so here, and this is the reason why. Look at verse 2. It says, it's 11 days journey, 11 days to go where God, the land that God said he would give them. Jump down to verse 3. Look at the beginning of verse 3. It says, now it came to pass in the 40th year. So verse 2 and verse 3, the beginning of those two verses tells us that the Israelites had taken 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land, and they turned it into a 40 years experience in the desert. 40 years. And they were held back by the Lord, by God himself. But remember this, he also was leading them. Okay, he led them out there. He led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. He provided, he met their needs. And, you know, we talk about this wilderness experience in our lives. And, oh, man, they were out there 40 years and out in the desert. But God was taking care of them within that 40 years. We can't forget that. God was with them. And I was thinking in my own life, and maybe you also, that when God says to you, you know what, you have stayed long enough on this mountain, it's time to move. Maybe in your life. He said that. Look at verse 6. Jump down to verse 6. And the Lord our God, Moses said, and the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. So he said, hey man, it's time to move out. It's time to move forward. And I think that's the message that God wants to give us this morning. And I think this is what we need to learn this morning. Is, you know what? There's a time when we need to just move out and move forward. Maybe we've been on that mountain in our lives, some mountains in our life, long enough in our life, it's time to move out, move forward. And for some of you, you might be, you know, you might be stuck in some kind of rut. You might be stuck in the same routine of your life. You know, I know how easy that is. And maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about how it's time to move out and to move forward. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you can leave the church, okay? That's not what this message is about, okay? Wow, we need to move on and move out, so we need to go to another. No, that's not what this message is about. It's about knowing when to pray and knowing when to act, because there's a time to pray and a time to act, okay? A time to do what God wants you to do. Look at verse 2. I'm going to read it again. It says, in the 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh, Bernea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year of the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commanded to them. I want to give you 5 reasons when you should know when it's time to move out of that comfort zone and to move forward in the Lord. Again, I'm telling you, God's not telling you to leave the church, okay? It's time to move on, do something. No, God's telling you to do it within your church, in this church here, okay? Some people do move. Unless God totally called you out, then like Dan and Terry, that was the Lord, and seeing how the Lord did that. But I want to give you 5 reasons, okay, when you should know when it's time to move out of your comfort zones and move forward in the Lord, okay? And I want you to write these down, so make sure you write them down. If not, then go online. You can listen online. The first point, it is time to move out and to move forward when you use your failures as an excuse for not trying again. And you know, I'm going to share that. What I mean by that is because when you talk about failures, look at Israel. Israel took an 11-day journey, and they turned it into a 40-years desert experience. 11 days. You'll be in the promised land in 11 days, but because of the sin of not doing anything or the sin of disobedience, 40 years. I would call that a failure, you know, 11 days to 40 years. And I can see how easy it was for the Israelites to say out there in 40 years, you know what, we haven't made it to the promised land these past 40 years. So why try now? Why try? In fact, they ended up at Mount Horeb. And I think right there is when they were kind of feeling comfortable enough to easily stay there and not move forward. But you know what's interesting and scary about this whole scenario about them being 11-day journey to turning it out to 40 years? What's scary about it is how we can find ourselves okay and comfortable even in our failures. I think that's scary. When you're able to, accept that. It's a failure, so I'm just going to accept that. I might as well. And some of us this morning, maybe you're going through this exact situation in your life where things are just not turning out the way you want them to. How many of you had those kind of days, right? This wasn't the way I turned it out, wanted it to turn out. Happened yesterday. And we just give up and we settle for what we got. I'm just going to, you know, like school, you know, in high school, if I got a D, that was enough for me. That was my passing grade. I'm done. My school years are over. A D, that's all I want to do. I wasn't seeking to be the valedictorian. But unfortunately, I didn't even get a D. I got all one-legged A's. And so what happened? I just said, all F's, what the use, I give in. I'm going to settle with that, and that's good enough for me. And I dropped out of school. A failure. I was settled in that failure. And sometimes we can give up and we can settle for what we got. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you know, God is telling the Israelites, and I think he's telling us as well, us too here, that we need to get up and we need to move forward. Don't settle for where you are in your relationship with the Lord, number one. Don't settle with that. I'm always saying this, guys, be creative in your relationship with God. Get creative. Don't be in a rut. Don't be in a routine. Get creative. Sometimes I get up at 4 in the morning. Sometimes I get up at 5 in the morning. Sometimes I get up at 7 in the morning when I have spent time with the Lord. Sometimes it's just, I just open my eyes in bed and I do it right there. I don't get into a routine. I want to be creative. And sometimes we need to do that, especially in our relationship with the Lord, maybe with your marriage. Don't settle for what you have in your marriage as well, or maybe your job. I think we need to work and move forward in those areas in our lives where we might be set in our ways, content, or maybe in our comfort zones. I mean, how many of you feel like you're in your comfort zone right now? I'll tell you who's in the comfort zone. Those of you who are sitting in the same seat every time. Okay, it's settled. I mean, that's a little thing. That's a comfort zone. Okay, that's a comfort zone. That's what I'm talking about. You come in and you see, this is my seat. Boom. That's okay. I'm not. There's one. Remember that one time I had everybody stand up and switch sides? You know, we may do that again. But don't be settled in that. In those areas in your life where you might feel content with the fact that, you know what, I'm just content with the fact that I'm saved, okay? I don't want to witness. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do anything else. I'm just happy and content with the fact that I am saved. That's it. That's all I want, okay? I want the Lord to be my Savior. I don't want Him to be my Lord, because then I have to change. I have to do something. I'm going to have to work for the Lord. Because that's what James says. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works by my faith. Not that we're saved by works, but the fact that because I'm saved, I want to work for the Lord. I can't help but work for the Lord. I got to do something for the Lord. But I don't want to be content with the fact that I'm just saved and I don't care about anybody else. They got to work out their own salvation or let them, you know, do it themselves. I don't want to be content and not move forward in the goals that are set in my life. I don't want to settle for being mediocre Christian. I don't want to be like that, guys. I don't want to be content with or just in my comfort zone with God's goals in my life. I want to be the best Christian that I can be, because that's God's goals. In fact, He tells us in 2 Peter, we will look at that next week, that we are to take on His divine nature. Okay? We want to, like father, like son. When I think about taking on God's divine nature, I think about being like God. Okay? Not being a God, but being like God. So when they see me, I can say, hey, if you see me, you've seen Jesus, because you're able to do that. Don't ever think, oh, I'm not like Jesus. No. When somebody says to you, hey, you know, I can tell you're a Christian, or hey, I can tell you got Jesus in your heart, that's because when they see you, they're seeing Jesus. But you don't ever want to say, hey, if you've seen God, you've seen me, you know, because we can't be like God, but we're to pursue that holiness, you know, right? He tells us to be holy like He's holy, or to pursue that. So God is telling, maybe God's telling you this morning to move out and to move forward in, not out of the church, but in taking steps of faith in your life. Working for the Lord, getting involved, coming here farmers market on Thursday, sitting out there and promoting the school, the church, coming here Saturday, next Saturday, and loving the community, loving the family. See, we're trying to win the families over. Open up the gate. Let them bring their kids and let them play and love them and just share with them friendship evangelism. That's a step of faith. Or maybe God's talking to you about stepping up and coming up here and joining the worship team. Maybe he wants you to become a deacon or an usher or get involved in the women's ministry, the men's ministry. Get involved in a home fellowship. Maybe it's now it's time to take a step of faith. Maybe it's in giving back to the Lord. I mean, how many of you here have not tithed to the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Okay? I used to not tithe to the Lord because I prioritized the cares of the world first. And it didn't help. Finally, I had to get to the point where, you know what, my ship is sinking and I'm going down with the ship, so I might as well just give it to the Lord. And so I gave to the Lord first, and guess what? The ship never sunk. And I just couldn't figure out that my expenses exceeded my income, but everything's getting paid and everything's great. Maybe you need to take a step of faith in that area. And another thing is, don't be looking for new revelations, because you know what? There is none. Instead, look forward to the new experiences with the Lord. It's all done in the Bible. There ain't no new revelations. You're not going to find something. I'm talking about the Bible. It's all right there in the Bible. Look for the new experiences in the Lord in the revelations that we have right now. That's why I'm always saying, you know, don't look for a new thing happening here or a new work. We got a lot of work that you can get involved in right now. Why add when, you know, or reinvent the wheel when we got something going right now? We don't need to find them in other churches too. You know, you can find them right here. You can be used here. Or in the church you might attend to, you can be used there too. But I think it's important not to be church hopping. I know people come here because of church hopping. You know how many people come here and say, yeah, I'm looking for a church. We don't see them again. I actually met a lady who said that she's looking for a church. And she's been to Calvary Chapel up there in East County. She's been to this Calvary Chapel. And everyone, she had something negative to say about the church. So I said, well, have you tried Horizon? We're Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. But have you tried Horizon where Mike McIntosh is now? His son, Philip McIntosh, is the pastor there. And she says, oh, yeah, I tried it. No, don't like it. And she said, I think I'll try your church out. And I said, well, you know, if you don't like them, you're definitely ain't going to like me. So, and so I think she might have went online and checked it out and found out, nope, I don't like it. See, that's the problem with church hopping. When you church hop, you go, and the first thing you're looking for is what? You're looking, okay, perfection, but you're looking for already the negative. You come in with a negative attitude, that's what you're going to find. And you come in and you look at, oh, I don't like that worship. I don't like that worship. She did say she loved Jack Hibbs. I said, oh, yeah, Jack Hibbs is awesome. He's an awesome teacher. Awesome teacher. And she said, if I can go to Jack Hibbs' church, I would go every day. I was like, oh, yeah, that is awesome. And my mind said, well, then you definitely don't want to come to my church because I'm not a Jack Hibbs. But I think it's important. You have to be careful when you seek the Lord, when you try to look for some big, giant, great act of work or maybe worship, lights or whatever it may be. You have to be careful. It's very important that you careful and you look to the Lord. Look to the master, not the pastor. Don't look to the worship people on the worship team. Look to the worship itself. So let me ask you this question in the areas of your life. Is there any area of your life where you need to move out and move forward? Second, the second point here, the time to move out and to move forward is when you know when you have come too far to what? To stop now. Look at verse 1. Moses here, hey, you know what? We're on this side of the Jordan of the wilderness. It's probably, like I said, the east side of the Jordan. He said, we have to get to the other side now. Now it's time to go and to move. You know, when Moses gave this speech to the Israelites, what exactly was it that separated them from the promised land? The Jordan River. The Jordan River. They had to cross the Jordan River to go to the take the promised land, because God told them it's time to take the promised land. You remember in Numbers, remember when they when the Lord told them, okay, take the promised land, and it was the tribe of Reuben. The tribe of Reuben said, you know what, we are satisfied. We love this side of the Jordan. We don't want to go to the other side. We raise cattle. We raise herds and sheep and all this. And we feel like this is the perfect land, the perfect area for us to raise our livestock. Let this area be our inheritance, and we won't go over there, but we'll stay here. And Moses says, yeah, great. You guys stay here, and you're all settled in, you're comfortable, and everything's going well, while your brothers in the Lord cross the Jordan, and they have to go fight, and they got to take the land. And so Moses said, and so the children of Reuben, they said, okay, listen, here's what we'll do. If you let us stay here, we'll gird up every man for war. We'll cross over with you, and we'll help take the land, and we won't stop until everybody has their inheritance of the land. And then we will go back, and we will be with our families and everything. And so, again, they wanted to settle with just that land. And you look at that, and I think it's like the sin of not doing anything. We don't want to do this. We want to stay here. But Moses said, how can you do that? You can't do that. So you had to be obedient to the Lord. So it was the Jordan River that separated the promised land, the Israelites, from the promised land. They had to cross the Jordan River, and Moses knew that. He said, you know, we have come so far. Now is not the time to stop. We got to keep moving on. And I know some Christians and just people in general who they make it right to the finish line, okay, in their lives, but they never cross the finish line. It's that saying, how many of you have said this? So close, but what? Yet so far. I say that a lot, especially when I'm driving. So close, but yet so far. Why? Why do they do that? Because why? Because they give up just a little too soon. And I think that in order to cross the finish line in your relationship with the Lord, I'm not talking to go to heaven. You know, that's going to come, obviously. But here on earth, crossing that finish line with the Lord, moving forward with the Lord and doing things for the Lord, I think it's our determination in life that's going to help us. And that determination is the saying that what you started, you're going to finish. I think that's biblical. Me personally, what I started, you guys, I'm going to finish. You know what that reminds me of? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Who knows it? There you go. Listen to what Paul said. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you always with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. Now listen to it in the Living Translation, because I like it breaks it down. Listen to what it says in the Living Translation. He says, I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. So, guys, living as a Christian, it's not easy, right? Anybody find it easy? I thought it would be. When I first accepted the Lord, I thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. I thought it was going to be great. But it became worse. Man, I said, what did I get myself into? Living as a Christian, it's not easy. In fact, it's a lifestyle of struggles. We all have struggles. And how many times have you said, you know, that, you know, I don't know why I keep trying. I don't know why I keep trying. Why bother? Or I would be much better off if I would have just give up and live like the world and live like everybody else. It seems like bad things happen to good people, but good things are happening to bad people. Maybe I'm on the wrong side. But I want to encourage you this morning. If maybe that crossed your mind or your heart, or maybe you said something like that, be encouraged, because we are, one day closer of waking up on the other side of eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? Amen. We're every day, tomorrow, we're one day closer. And God's going to tell you what Jesus said to his disciples. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. I just want to get in. I know some of you say, somebody said, I don't care. I just want to, even if I just barely make it in, that's okay. That's not okay. You just don't want to barely make it in. You want to get in where you can hear the Lord say, enter the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. Right? Isn't that what you want? Or do you just want to be dragged in or barely make it in? I used to say that. If I can just get a D to get into heaven, I'm set. Okay? Just give me a D. And I'm good to go. Barely make it in. No, I want to hear the Lord say, hey, enter the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. You have finished the race. That will mean everything to us to hear those words. So the question is, have you gone too far in your relationship, your walk with the Lord, to stop now? I think the good example is Polycarp. Remember Polycarp, the pastor of the Church of Smyrna? When they were after him for a long time, finally they caught him, they brought him into the arena, and everybody was calling out his death to Polycarp. And the guy says, you know, I have the authority to let you go. And if you just denounce Jesus Christ, you denounce your Lord, I'll let you go. And he said, hey, I've served the Lord for over, I'm just going to guess, I can't remember exactly how old he was. For 80 years I served him and he's never failed me. Should I deny him now? How long have you been serving the Lord? And he's never, never been unfaithful. Should you now denounce him now? Should you now? After all that faithfulness, you know, he's a very, you got to read about his testimony. Then the third point, write it down. It's time to move out and to move forward. When God says to you, it's when God says it's time to move out and to move forward. You can read it in verse, we're going to take communion. You can read it in verse 6 through 7 when the Lord spoke to them in Horeb. And he said, hey, you dwelled here long enough at this mountain. It's time to take your journey now. It's time to move forward. So you need to be ready when God tells you that it's time to move out and to move forward. Too many of us come up with so many excuses on why we can't just go right now or why I can't do it. Remember that parable of the banquet feast when Jesus talked about it. He said, certain man, he gave this great supper and he invited many. And he sent his servants at the supper time. And he said, go invite and bring those who were invited to come in because things are now ready. But all of them with one accord began to make excuses. The first one said, hey, I bought a piece of ground there, a land. I have to go seek it first. So may I be excused? Another said, hey, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I got to go test them. So may I be excused? And the other one said, hey, I just got married. I married a wife and therefore I can't come. So the servant came back and he told the master, and the master, he got angry. He said, go out into the streets, go out into the byways, into the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. He said, bring them in. And the rest, he says, hey, you know what? None of you will come in, and all those who were invited, they will not taste of this supper. You know, sometimes when we miss what God wants for us, it's because when God calls us, we're just not ready. How many times has that happened? How many times has the Lord called you up to the altar for prayer after service? Hey, come on up for prayer. How many times the Lord is speaking into your heart, or the Lord had tugged you in your heart to come up and ask for prayer, and you didn't? Why? Because you felt that you weren't ready. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you were not ready when God called you? Think about it. And the fourth, it's time to move out and move forward, even when the challenges are still in your life. Verse 7, he says, hey, take, and here in verse 7, Moses, hey, take, it's time to turn and take your journey. Go to the mountain of the Amorites, go into the land of the Canaanites, the seacoast, and over the great Euphrates. And you know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, the Lord led them by the cloud by the day and the fire by night. But God, think about this, God never did anything to remove the challenges that were waiting for them in the promised land. And you got to ask, hey, 40 years they were out in the wilderness. What were you doing, God, in those 40 years in the promised land? Why didn't you make the path clear? Why didn't you get rid of those in the promised land, make everything, you know, hunky-dory, and let everything work out, and for the time when they will go in, you know? But God tells them that, you know what, the people that are in the land, those people who scared you back in Numbers when you said, no, there's giants in the land. You know what? We can't do this. We can't go in there. They're still in the land. So it makes you want to question or ask the Lord, you know, when they were out there in the wilderness, again, what were you doing in those 40 years? Well, the answer is simple. What was God doing? He was preparing them for a greater work that he had planned for them and for the world today, for salvation. But the point is this, God doesn't always make our road smooth, the path smooth. And then he tells you, okay, go ahead and move out and move forward. Sometimes he tells us to move out and move forward, even when the road ahead of us is really bumpy, rocky, and it's potholes. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13? He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's true. 2 Corinthians, Paul said it well when he said, hey, Lord, you know what? He said, I prayed 3 times to God that he would take away this thorn in the flesh that I'm being buffeted by Satan, that he would take it away. And God said no. 3 times God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when he said that, Paul said, okay, therefore, hey, you know what? I'm going to be glad, because I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me, knowing that God will see him through. And then the last point, the fifth one, I can move out and move forward when I have come to the place in my life that I can totally trust in what God tells me. That's the key. Are you trusting in what God tells you? Look at verse 8. And we're going to end it. We're going to take communion. He says, see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them. You know what? When I read verse 8, I see God, you know, he doesn't change his story one bit, right? From Abraham to the first time the Israelites reached the promised land, God told them that there would be enemies there waiting. They have to fight. That they might have to fight? No. that they must fight in order to take the land. 40 years later, when they are about to enter the promised land, God tells them that there still are enemies in the land. God didn't change. The people changed. And sometimes we don't move out or we move forward because we haven't changed or we don't want to change. And God's waiting. He's waiting for them to change. So he's waiting for us to change as well. But let me ask you this. Let me end with this. What is the alternative to trusting God? For the Israelites, it was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, waiting for the day that God would tell them it's time to move out and to move forward. So in your life, where are you spending the time waiting for that day that God will tell you, hey, move out and move forward? Are you ready? If the Lord says it's today, are you ready? And I'm not talking about another church, guys. I'm talking about in your church now. In your life, is God, are you hearing God saying it's time to move out and move forward? Because God wants to do a new thing, right? He always wants to do a new thing in our life. So pray and see where God is speaking to you about moving forward in the Lord and serving God within Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship or where he may use you here to do a new thing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, again, when I think of this portion of scripture and Moses and the children of Israel and those who are now, it will be Joshua and Caleb who will be leading the next generation into the promised land. We'll cross the Jordan and a whole new work that they'll be doing and removing the inhabitants to take the land. Father, I think of my own personal life. There's areas in my life that that fight against me. I'm talking about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing to move forward and to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And Lord, I pray for each and every one here that, Lord, you would bless them, that you would speak to them, that you would show them what you require of them, and that you would lead them, Father, lead them where you would have them to go, where you have them to do within the ministry here. Not to go out and say, okay, well, I'm going to go somewhere else and see. Maybe that's where it's at. Yeah, you can, but God can use you here. If God has placed something in your heart that you want to be involved in, well, maybe God's calling you to move out and move forward. So we pray, Father, that you would bless us, that you would continue to lead us, that you would continue to direct us and order our steps, not only within our relationship, but within the ministry, Lord. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on the potluck and our fellowship this afternoon here as we go down and we just hang out and have all things in common and break bread with one another. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand.